So the next question is about legalism, right? Do I now have to keep the law of Moses to be a Christian? Did you see that coming? Do you wonder about that? So I read this thing about someone seduces somebody. It says seduce a virgin, but I don't know if there's any mothers in the room who's like, I don't much like that girl hanging around my boy, right? It goes the other way. I mean, it seems to imply that there's this masculine initiation and that women are taken advantage of, seduced, right? Talked into it, worn down. But I think it goes both ways. I think we've talked about how now we're equal before God as men and women in Christ. But this scripture does have a little bit of a biblical context of patriarchy and male-led society, and that's the way that things were ordered back then. So I don't think we're really violating a biblical principle to say this day, you know, girls and guys, you're responsible for yourselves. Take care of yourselves. You're going to answer for your actions taken in private. And if the two of you come together, the two of you are together. And if your family don't like each other, it doesn't look good for you. You might as well just pay the divorce money up front. I don't think I'm crazy in interpreting Exodus chapter 22, verses 16 and 17 that way. Let's go in Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. So if you open up your Bible and in the New Testament, which is the back quarter of the book, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, and then after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's Acts, which is almost like a fifth gospel, if you look at it that way. And then Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, right? And then your minister still forgets if Galatians comes before or after Ephesians. Every time he looks, I don't know why I have that problem. But so eventually, Galatians chapter 3. So if I'm in a pew Bible, it's page 1170. And listen to what it says in the book of Galatians. About legalism, about making people keep rules to prove that they're Christians, okay? Let me ask you this, Paul says in verse 2 of chapter 3. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you're now perfected by the flesh? Like, are you going to work really hard to do what's perfect? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of law or by hearing with faith? So why are you saved? Are you saved because you're really good now, or are you saved because Jesus died for your sins? Right? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I trust what God said he would do in Jesus. So I'm just like Abraham, who God said, you believe me. We're going to get on fine. Abraham was a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. Okay? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, as it was written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus was hung on the cross for our sins. The law, the punishment, everything already happened to Jesus. When I realize that I've broken the law of God, right? If I've had girlfriends that I slept with who I'm married to, if my interpretation of Scripture is correct, and then here I am, become a Christian, and I say, God, all those things I did before, I'm sorry. Jesus died for my sin on the cross. If I am a Christian and I committed sin and I turned to God and I said, oh God, I sinned. When I did what I did then, I sinned. And I agree with you. Please forgive me. Jesus died for that sin on the cross. And I am a child of God. I'm forgiven. So before, during, after, there's forgiveness for sin. If you agree with God about sin, there is forgiveness. Isn't that good news? So as far as the legalism part, you know, I'm not under the weight of perfection to be accepted by God, but that gets tricky too. In Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham comes to the Gentiles, that's all of us who aren't Jewish, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I like that part, but we have a problem, right? We like when Ephesians says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I like that. I want to be saved by grace. That is important. I cannot do something. I wasn't smart enough to understand God to say yes, and that's why I'm a Christian. Christians are the smart people who said yes. That's not it. The only difference between Christians and everyone outside is that somehow inside of us, by something that God did, we have become aware that Jesus died for our sins. That sin is sin, and Jesus died for ours, and that we're forgiven. Now I follow Jesus. That's a Christian. A sinner has all the same stuff, but I don't agree with God. I don't follow Jesus. So the people who are Christians are not better than the people who are sinners. The people who are Christians are saved by grace, forgiven. And the people who identify with their sin and not with Christ are not. It's a huge line drawn. In Galatians chapter 3, still at verse 24, it says this, "So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith." All of you here, firstborn heirs of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, or are you baptized into Christ? There is neither Jew nor Greek. We like this. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So did you know that? That we, together with Israel, are beneficiaries of the same promises that God made throughout time. Very good news. So if there's no law and I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want, right? I'll just say sorry later, right? Yeah. That's a logical conclusion of many people who have read that stuff before in the past. That's the subject of heresy trials. There were excommunications from the whole church of Christian believers because people said exactly that. Look, you know what? In my spirit, I'm God's, but my body, it's going to die anyway, and I just use it the way that I want. And I know that I believe in God, but I can live the way that I want. And I know that it's wrong, but God's going to forgive me. That's a normal, logical conclusion that people have made in the past, and I believe we do right now. We actually do it without thinking the thoughts. We just do it by our practice. We say, I'm a Christian, I'm just a naughty Christian. Oh, well, you know, my taxes, a little bit of bingo here and there. You know, I don't think bingo's a sin. I just think that we downgrade some sins to the overlookable little things, like how you feel about gambling or how you feel about little white lies, things like that. But we actually can't get away with it. And I wanted to, and this is in finishing, look at Romans chapter 6. Because it's important to see it, because I meet people who don't know this, and the scripture is really quite clear in it.